university life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so incredibly excited to introduce you to the guest that we have today. And this is a topic that's particularly exciting for me. Her name is Dr. Jenny Wallach, and she is from Powerful Love. Jenny, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited, as I said just a little bit earlier, to dive into the wealth of insight and the knowledge that you're going to share with us. But before we do that, let's get some insight into who you are. Give us your origin story.
Ah, my origin story. So I come from a history of therapy. So I've been obsessed with relationships my whole life. And the creation of Powerful Love Relationships happened because even though I was trained, I have a master's and PhD in couple and family therapy, I partnered with a person that I knew to be my soulmate, and I could not figure out how to make the relationship work. It's like all the things that I learned were not good enough to like actually make this relationship work. And it drove me crazy. It made me feel like a total imposter, even though my clients said that I was great at helping them. And when I finally figured out through a lot of like stubborn determination and a really beautiful aha moment, I was able to, without really any participation from him at the time, like completely turn our relationship around. And we got to a point once where we were reflecting on how did we get here? And Cal, my partner, said, you know, I think that we just started to own our shit. And
I like it.
And so, you know, there's it's like connected to what we have learned actually helps clients most effectively. But it became the origin story of actually working together. Cal and I are in business together and supporting other couples in learning how to do relationships in a more powerful and conscious and effective way, because I had the privilege of learning about relationships or pursuing my own education about relationships, I'd say, from my undergraduate through my PhD. And I still couldn't figure it out. Like when the rubber really met the road, you know, and I was really challenged. I had the theories, I had the knowledge, I still couldn't do it. And so we're really passionate about helping other people learn how to do relationships successfully, because our relationships are the cornerstone to every part of our life, and our relationships are everywhere.
Oh my goodness, that was so powerful. So firstly, my sister is an MSW, so thank you for all that you do. You guys are incredible, and I have a super soft spot for social workers. And secondly, I relate so much to that in terms of knowing the practical theories, but when you get to the application, everything falls apart. And I think it's because relationships are so vulnerable. They bring out so many different pieces and parts of who we are, from our childhood to experiences that we might not even be able to pinpoint. And at this time in our life, when we're young and some of our listeners are in university, they could be pursuing graduate degrees or undergraduate degrees, is when you really start to feel the pressure to think about this for the first time.
We're wired for human connection, right? Like I was thinking about relationships since I was like 10 years old, but I like college, it got real. I was like, okay, when am I going to get married and have kids, and how's like my life going to unfold from here, right? And we're already going through so much personal growth in this chapter of our life as we learn who we are as young adults, and we try to figure out where we want to go and what we want to create for ourselves, that our relationships, they often just kind of unfold without a lot of intention or thinking. And there's a lot of mistakes that we make, but there's also a lot of heartbreak. And when you're you know, when you're going through heartbreak, I know when I was in college, I broke up with my high school sweetheart, and it was really difficult to focus on anything else. And then eventually we got married, and then it was really difficult to focus on anything else. And right, it's like, how do you make sure that you're finding the right person, that you're starting your relationship off on a really good foot, that you are know how to navigate it when it's getting hard, like that you know how to take care of yourself if it doesn't work out, or how to turn it around if you want it to work out. All of these things are so key in this part of our life. And you're absolutely right, Brooke, in that our relationships bring up our vulnerabilities. And that's the part where, even if you know, like if you read the books or do the classes, it's like you can know how to make sense of it, but it's in our bodies, it's in our nervous systems that we really need to do the work of freeing ourselves, of choosing the patterns that we want to be in, right? That we talk about the dance of relationships, like learn how to do the dance we want to do. And step into who we really are, right? Like our authentic and aligned self, instead of losing ourselves in the pull of the relationship, which I think can happen to a lot of people too. When it starts young, it tends to continue throughout our lives. I certainly repeated my relational patterns for decades beyond my university years.
Oh, you said a word I really want to key in on, because I think it's so important: intentional. How do we be intentional in our relationships? What's the first step?
Oh, that is such a great question. The first step, honestly, is deciding to, right? Is being aware that being intentional is even a thing. Because there's this myth, right, that if you find the right person, that your relationship should just work, right? There's almost like this, like we know relationships are work, but we assume that we should know how to do them if we find the right person. That we'll be able to communicate, that we'll be able to get along, that we'll be able to resolve conflict. And when we don't, when we can't do those things, often the assumption is there's something wrong with my partner, there's something wrong with me, or I don't have the right relationship. And so it ends, and then we rinse and repeat until we learn. Just having the awareness, though, that we can do our relationships more intentionally creates space for us to start slowing down and asking ourselves questions like, what is really happening here? What are my needs? And this is one of the most powerful questions that we teach people. Like, what can I do that is going to increase the chances that we get to where, like, that this relationship goes where I want it to go, that my needs actually get met? Because sometimes what it is that we can do is set a boundary or ask directly for what we need. Right? And that's part of the intentionality. It's not just like the reactivity that often happens in our relationships, right? So our partner does something, we have a reaction to it, we don't like it, it doesn't feel good, it's not meeting our needs. And so we just react kind of non-consciously, unintentionally. And the patterns most people do that from are self-protective patterns because of the vulnerability. And the self-protective patterns tend to create defensiveness and conflict that we then don't know how to deal with. So just that slowing down and recognizing, like, this isn't feeling good, being able to ask yourself the question, what's it about and what can I do that's going to help it feel better, that's actually, you know, more likely to work, because just yelling at our partner or shutting down and not talking to them for a while, probably not going to actually work in the long run. And that's where the other piece of this comes in. So we've got three pillars to what we teach about relationships. I may be going a little too far. So
I want to hear it. I love this.
So our first pillar is we call liberate. And that's the work that we do to free ourselves from the pull of our nervous system, our automatic reactivity, the patterns we maybe learned from our parents or our traumas, or even our Disney movies that don't work, right?
Oh, I do like Disney movies.
So there's like this personal liberation work that we need to do. But another piece that's really essential to being able to be successfully intentional in our relationships is to learn more about relationships, because no one's teaching us. And so we need to seek out, like we need to take the time to read books or listen to podcasts or follow influencers or whatever is your style of learning. Just know that if you're stuck, you may just not know the solution. And there's learning that can be done to get you closer. And so that's where, like, when you ask the question, what can I do that's going to be more effective? You need to have some more tools in your toolbox. And most people don't. Our third pillar then, since I'm on the topic, we call leading with love. And what that means is it speaks to our own personal power and responsibility to shape the direction of where our relationship goes. Because when we're in a relationship, we're part of a system, right? There's like, we influence one another. What our partner does affects us, and then how we react affects our partner, and it just kind of spins round and round and round. And we all want to get our partner to change, but actually the best way to get our partner to change is to change the steps in the dance that we do. We take the lead in the dance that we're doing. Their dance steps have to change in response, and they're more likely to follow. All people are more likely to follow someone who's leading powerfully and with love than someone who's telling them that they're doing it wrong and that they're a problem and they need to get better because they suck right now. That just puts people in a defensive, self-protective place where they dig their heels in and don't want to change.
Wow, I have so much to say to that. It was certainly, you said, oh, stop me. Absolutely not, because there was so many golden nuggets in there for everyone and so much wisdom that I wish I would have had. And I have so many follow-up questions, but I'm going to start with this one. Being guarded is such a difficult thing. And so many people, after they experience an initial heartbreak, and ghosting is very popular now, so we can become very guarded. How do we begin to let our guards down?
That's a beautiful question. It comes back to like the other end of the coin of vulnerability that you mentioned, Brooke, which is courage. We talk about courage all the time in our work with couples and individuals, because we work with, you know, we know that it only takes one, so we work with just one person too, if their partner doesn't want to participate. But courage is essential, because courage is that part of the relational process that asks us to go against everything our body is telling us to do to stay safe. When we want to have our guards up or shut down or lash out or freeze up and go numb, right? Whatever those responses are, it's our nervous system doing its job, which is to keep us alive. But our brain doesn't know the difference between the threat of someone hurting our feelings and the threat of, like, you know, a lion or a bear outside of our hut. and we think that we could die, which is why relational anxiety, the attachment anxiety that shows up, is so powerful and compelling. But when you go into this knowing that to create the kind of relationship that most people only dream about, I need to bring my courage. I need to bring my courage. I need to lean into the resistance that my nervous system has. I need to take the risk of trusting. I need to take the risk of getting hurt. And I might get hurt. But the other side of that is knowing, and this is so important, knowing that you're going to be okay. Knowing that you're going to be okay. That your wings will catch you if you fall, that you have everything you need within you to learn and grow and become an even better and more powerful version of you through whatever hardship, learning event you might have to go through. Because that is one of the divine designs, I think, of our relationships, is for our growth. And growing is rarely comfortable. Everything that is our growth exists on the other side of our comfort zone. So we have to lean into that courage. But that doesn't mean like just, you know, that doesn't mean put all your guards down all the time, right? Like we do so with, again, intentionality, consciousness. We test the waters. We make sure that we're safe. We vet our people a little bit and see how they're treating us and whether it aligns with like how we know we deserve to be treated. And I believe that everybody has that knowing within them, if they're courageous enough to listen to it, because that's another piece of courage, right? Is like listening. listening to the part that says, I deserve better, or this isn't working for me, or that wasn't cool, that really hurt me, or I'm afraid right now. That takes courage to acknowledge, because you could upset someone, you could disappoint them, you could rock the boat in the relationship, you could even lose your partner. And all of that is really hard and scary, especially when we're in some of our first, most meaningful relationships. But courage, courage, my loves. You can do this. It's worth it. You're worth it. And it is the way to the relationships that you ultimately desire.
I have so much to say to that. And I had to make a courageous choice in my personal relationship. So normally I wouldn't share this, but a courageous choice to say, I need more of this. And there was no defensiveness from him because we've worked really, really hard in our communication. So I was able to get that thing that I so deeply needed. But I think sometimes we're a little afraid to ask for what we know we need. And some of us are so disconnected or estranged from ourselves that we don't even know what it is that we do need. What advice would you give to those people?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's the liberation work, Brooke, right? That's part of it. So the two kind of scenarios you're bringing up. One is that it's scary to ask for what we need. And a lot of people, what they've experienced, usually as children, is that by asking for what they need, they get in trouble. And so it's not safe. Or they get shamed or criticized for having that need and it doesn't get met. And there's something even more painful about like asking for a need and having it not met, or having it like minimized, than just not asking for it at all and never having it met, right? Like relationally, that hurts more. So there again, we need to bring the courage. We need to be willing to like take that risk, even though it feels scary, and it's gonna feel scary. But the more we do it, the less scary it becomes, first of all. And as hard as this is, and I don't know that my younger self would have taken these words to heart, but I'm going to say them anyways. In hindsight, I would rather know sooner if someone is not willing or able to care for my heart and step up to the plate to try to meet my needs than stay in it, never asking for those needs to be met until I get to a place where I can't anymore and I have to. And now there's like that much bigger of a gap, right? So the risk, that's the fastest way to get what you need is by asking. It is, and it's a gift of love to your partner to give them the opportunity to love you the way that you need to be loved. To the other end of the spectrum, for people who don't even, like who are so disconnected from themselves that they may not even know what they need, this is where I would really advise doing that, like your self growth and healing work. This is where a therapist or a mentor, or even, you know, if you're a DIYer, getting a course or a book can help you to start to connect those dots. Typically, this is a trauma response to lose connection. And our relational traumas, where we've been hurt and disappointed, or our relationships haven't been safe in our past, are some of the hardest, most difficult traumas to kind of heal and recover from, because every relationship then carries that potential threat according to our nervous system. And that's totally understandable. And if that's an experience that you're having as a listener, know that it doesn't have to stay that way. And that you can reconnect with your feelings and your needs and your body and your courage. And you can step into your power and your authenticity and your worth and ask assertively and lovingly and compassionately for all of the needs that you may not even realize that you have that are still there, still present for you. They're just showing up sideways, like, you know, in general unhappiness or dissatisfaction or restlessness or pain in your body, right? But it's your responsibility. It's each of our responsibility, regardless of where our pain or our trauma came from or who did it to us. As adults, it is now our responsibility to begin that healing journey. And we all have a healing journey to go on. There is not one of us that escapes some kind of trauma in our life. We're all affected. Life is like trauma-based learning environment, right? Like this is like in some version, there's variations, right? I don't want to minimize like really intense or severe traumas, but all of us have something that's affected us and how we show up. And it absolutely shows up in our relationships, which are actually great mirrors, great opportunities for us to become aware of what that is and where we can do work to heal and free ourselves and become the happiest version of ourselves.
Well, I can tell you that's certainly been the experience for me. It is an incredible mirror to learn so much, not only about yourself, but about how you view the world. And speaking of worldview, there's a question that I ask everyone. I am so delighted to ask you because I know you're going to bring so much great insight. If you had to give three pieces of advice to university age students, what would they be?
My first piece of advice is prioritize learning about relationships. Even if you're not interested in being in one right now, make it a priority because you are in relationship, first of all, with yourself, right? With the parts of you from your past, with your hopes and dreams, with your fears and insecurities. And full transparency, a lot of the relational work that we end up doing with couples is relational work that they learn first to do with themselves, right? So we all have that relationship that we can improve on. And in fact, doing so is going to set you up for a lot less heartache in like romantic and intimate partner relationships. But we've also got our relationships with your employers, or as you move into leadership in your workplace, or as even as a teammate, or if you go into entrepreneurship, all of these require that you have relational skills. It's so interesting that I believe interpersonal skills are perhaps one of the most sophisticated and critical skill sets that we need in our lifetimes. And the ones that we use across the board, every single one of us, regardless of our career path, we use relational skills. And yet no one teaches us how to do it. And you can learn how to do relationships better. You can become a master at them. You can refine those skills. So set that intention. You don't have to like deep dive into it, but like make that part of your personal growth journey. The other piece of advice I would say is get support when you need it. There is no shame in getting support. And I think that our culture of individualism actually does us a lot of harm. We have this idea that we should be able to figure it out ourselves, or we should be able to do it ourselves. And if we can't, then maybe there's something wrong with us. And the truth is, none of us does it ourselves. None of us. In fact, I remember I took a history of psychology class, I think in my undergrad, and I was astounded to learn at how many of the like big name psychologists we learn about actually had like a whole bunch of help from colleagues that they would never have like gotten there had these other people not laid the foundation or supported them in this way or that way or the other thing. It was like, wait a second. Even Darwin, like, right? Like had like, he wasn't just his brilliance. There was like a support system that helped him figure it out and call. I mean, anyway, I digress, right? Like nobody does it. That's a total myth. We never figure it all out on our own. So seek support. You're going to accelerate your journey in whatever direction you want to go, whatever you want to become masterful at. Find somebody who's a step or two ahead of you and get their support and collaboration. And I think that the third thing I would say is as far as advice for university, college age students, is just to recognize that you are growing and changing and you will continue to. You don't have to have it all figured out right now in any respect, despite the pressure that your, you know, major might have for you or your parents or like your internalized belief, like you're going to change in your relationships, you're going to change in your identity, you're going to change in your career, and we're supposed to change and grow. So allow yourself to be who you are and where you are now. Allow yourself to be a learner and to not know and to not have it figured out. And trust that, as big and overwhelming as all the things might seem sometimes, you're going to figure it out. And you're not going to have to do it all alone. You will always have someone there to support you. I promise there will be people. And you're going to get wherever you decide that you want to go. Just decide you want to get there, and the path is going to unfold before you.
I love that. I love that. I've changed so much from when I was the university age. I'm sure that you're similar. And point number three is very, very important, everyone. So make sure to let that one really marinate in your brain. I have another question for you as we wrap up here. Is there a quote, a song, a mantra that you live your life by?
You know, there's a lot, actually. I have most of them tattooed on my arms.
I like it. It's a nice, like, way to, you know, yeah, it's a reference point for them.
It's there to remind me of what I really believe and what really matters. So one of the mantras that I live by is truly, what's my shit here? Like, what's my shit to own? It is my shortcut way of bringing myself back into my power and my responsibility of looking at what it is I desire for my life, how I might be contributing to that, and what I can do, where my power is, to like get myself where I want to go. So what's my shit here? What's my shit here? What's mine? What is mine? What can I do about this?
This is very important, you guys. I ask myself this all the time, and there's a lot of it.
You know, and I'll have parts of myself that are like, I don't want to, I don't care, especially in relationship, right? Like, you know, you didn't say this very nicely to Cal, and I'd be like, well, I don't care. He didn't do this to me. I'm like, well, but that's not your shit. This part's your shit. So I work through it eventually, right? But I still have that guiding question. The other one that I live my life by is love is a verb. Love is not just something that we feel. It's something that we do. It's chosen. It is an act of extending oneself for the well-being of oneself or another's, like, highest good. And sometimes the loving thing is a painful thing, but it's what's in everyone's highest good. Sometimes the loving thing is not the thing we want to do, but it requires extending ourselves, giving energy, being willing to do the loving thing even when we don't feel loving. But that's what it really means to love. And I wish that more people in our world understood what it really means to love, what it asks of us, as opposed to just wanting the feeling of love, which is actually something different than what love really is. And so there's a distinction there. And I won't go too deep into it, but the summary sentence is, love is something that we do, not just something that we feel. And it's something that we do for the highest good of ourselves or another person, even when it's hard.
That really gripped me, made me emotional. Oh my goodness. Thank you for sharing with me today. If somebody wants to follow your content, wants to learn more about you, where do they go?
I am primarily on Facebook. So you can find me on Facebook at jenny.wallig. But you can also check out our website, www.powerfullove.com. There's only one L. I'm sure that Brooke will put it in the show notes if there are some.
Yes, of course, of course. And I've had a wonderful time with you here today. I have to say, of all of the episodes I've recorded, this is one of my personal favorites.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an honor to be here. And I'm so grateful to all of your listeners who took the time out of their life to grow and expand, because this stuff is life-changing.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.